This morning we have a special treat. A children's leader is going to be giving our opening, and the children's director has asked for the privilege to introduce her. So, go.
It used to be a day when I never wanted to come up here. Now it's like, give me the microphone. I do have the privilege of introducing one of my wonderful children's teachers. Now, as a children's director, I am not supposed to have favorites, and I don't have favorite teachers, but I do have favorite classes. And I must say, the Blue Lambs is my favorite this year for two reasons. One, my two grandchildren are in there, which makes it very special. I have sort of been banned from looking in the window, but I still peek in. But the other reason is Tammy and I have prayed for this class for a long time because we have wanted this class to be taught by teachers, not just paid caregivers. And this is a classroom that is where the children go right after the nursery. So they go in there when they're like 13, 14 months old. Well, face it, who wants to be in there with 13, 14 months old, trying to get them to sit on the carpet or the blanket or the sheet and listen to a story, learn a memory verse, all that stuff that goes with it? It's really hard to get a teacher to go in there. So we've been praying for a long time. Not only did we get one, not only did we get two, but we got three teachers that absolutely adore this class. And they are so good with this class, and so we're really excited. So it's my pleasure to introduce Amy, who is one of the teachers in there. She's been married for 11 and a half years to Aaron, who is a physical therapist. Amy was also a physical therapist in a former life. And she does it on an as-needed basis for a friend that has a clinic. She has three boys, ages 7, 5, and 1.5, who happens to be in her class. And this is her fourth year in CBS, her second year as a children's teacher. And her hobbies, when she has some time, are sports and reading. So welcome Amy for me, with me.
Good morning. Of course I have to have props. Okay, I just have to say, it's not fair to have to come up here and do this after a praise and worship time like that and being ushered into his presence. That was awesome. Thank you all for sharing that with me. I want to start this morning just, if nothing else, to calm my nerves by praying. If you will, bow your heads with me. Dear God, this is your day. You created it, and you are here. And Lord, I am your child, and I pray that the words from my mouth this morning are yours, and that they give full testimony to who you are in the gospel of your glorious grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now we'll start. Hello, my name is Amy Allaire, and I am a daughter of my Lord Jesus Christ. I have been a wife for 11 and a half years to my precious husband, Aaron. I was waiting for the aww. There we go. And a mother of three little boys. Joshua 7. Good job. Joshua 7, Tucker 5, and Jake, who's 1.5. And we have a very sweet dog, Welker, who is named after the Red Raider and now Patriot, Wes Welker. So right there. And this year I can boast in the Lord that I have had the privilege of teaching the Blue Lambs. All sweet 9 of them. And that really gets all. Along with two beautiful, godly, and gentle women, Kendra Testone and Fong Wong. And I just feel really bad that I'm not given more adjectives to them because they are absolutely precious. And God knew it would take both of them to balance me out, that they are gentle, that they are beautiful. I've titled my opening this morning, Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Blue Lambs. This year we focused on imparting to the Blue Lambs two fundamental truths. The first is God is love. It's who he is. It's what motivates everything he does. And it's the outpouring of his emotion for them. The second truth is that the Bible is God's gift to them. It's his very word, and everything in it is true. With a class of 1.5 to 2-year-olds, we use several special strategies to teach them. The first is we try to incorporate as many of their 5 senses. I don't know why I put up 10 fingers. 5 senses to teach them the Bible stories. The first is that they use their hands. They pat the Bible as they sing. They get to hold binoculars like the spies who went to Jericho and check out the promised land. They get to cuddle the baby Moses, and then later baby Jesus. And they get to fold their sweet hands to pray. They use their mouths, first and foremost, to eat Cheerios. Because we all know that food is the way to any heart. I have three boys. I can testify to that. They get to eat honeycombs to remind them of manna in the desert that God provided. They got to eat grapes to remind them of what the spies found in the promised land. And they have made the most joyful noises imaginable as they have praised Jesus. They've gotten to use their eyes to look in the mirror as we've sung and told them that God has a secret. He loves you. And they've gotten to use their ears to hear those words over them. And they've gotten to use their eyes and ears to be captivated by the stories of the Bible and to hear the word of God while they sat in tents in the desert, while they watched the walls of Jericho fall down all around them, while they saw me dressed up like Joshua to charge the Israelites to follow their one God. And they've gotten to see puppet shows to depict the story of Jesus' birth and to observe the wonder of bubbles. And don't forget their noses. With a changing table and diaper changer in the room, there are always fragrant offerings. The second strategy we've used is consistency and security. Because that is a staple in our teaching environment. Because we have these precious babies who are leaving the very security they know, mom, to come and join us for 2 hours and trust us with their very lives. So we have a constant schedule. And I'm the queen of asking, Amy, how was your day? Well, I got up at 6 in the morning. I brushed my teeth. And at 6:05, I went to the bathroom. I'm not going to give you that much detail, but I want you to see a picture of what the Blue Lambs have done as they've engaged in these stories. The consistent schedule is we start out with a little play, and then we sing the cleanup song, and we go to story time that's awaiting them on a beautiful green blanket with Cheerios awaiting. We have our stories, and then we sing, what time is it? What time is it? Is it time to go to play? Where, of course, they immediately start nodding. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It is time to go and play. And so we grab hold of our Cheerio loops and walk across the hall to the playroom. And after we've played, we sing another round of cleanup song and what time is it? Because they are definitely ready to celebrate that snack time, food, Cheerios, is waiting for them across the hall. We fold our hands to pray before we eat. We sing the gospel fuzzy song every time. And then we go have diaper changing. And we finish up with a world of bubbles as we praise Jesus. We also have consistency in that they have found that their teachers' faces haven't changed this year. And they know that they can trust our open arms. The third characteristic of our strategies is repetition is important to remember. We sing the same songs with Miss Becky each week. We review the memory verses over and over again with them. The schedule is repetitive, and the stories always point to our two fundamental truths. God is love, and His word is God's gift to us and is true. The Blue Lambs have embarked on a journey through the Bible this year. It started with learning that God's gift to them was the Bible. And then quickly we found a baby Moses in a basket. And we found that God had a special plan and purpose for him. That God was going to empower this baby beyond his natural bent. That he was going to walk before him and with him. That he brought him the resources he needed in his brother Aaron. He showed him deliverance just as he promised. He performed marvelous signs, wonders, and miracles before him. He provided for him in the desert and was faithful to bring victory at Jericho. And then we got to skip straight ahead to the New Testament with the birth of baby Jesus. So, after that long explanation of what is Blue Lambs like, what has this taught me? My life this past 6 months has been more closely mirrored the waiting, hurting, and fearful times when dealing with sin and its consequences and not living wholeheartedly for God alone. And that's the time that Israel encountered after the battle at Jericho, while they waited for their Messiah to come. Israel chose to be governed by judges, a series of good and bad kings, to live in captivity and then wait in silence after the prophets, instead of choosing to live fully abandoned to God who had set them apart. set them apart. I too have been set apart by God as holy. As his temple, my life should be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Romans 12:1. But as I've had to walk back through pains and hurts in my marriage that I thought God's work of restoration had already completed, only to realize it wasn't an issue of the past, I've had to struggle to live wholeheartedly abandoned, to trust God and his plan. I've wanted to hold the reins, and through my own fear of the what ifs, and to wallow in wanting it all to be healed right now. I've wanted to quickly move on and claim what was, what should be, what could be, and not what really is, and what God is doing to work for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his good purpose, Romans 8:25, on his time schedule and not my own. The reality is these hurts will always be a part of me to some degree this side of heaven. But as I cried out for security, I haven't wanted to trust. But God in his loving kindness has reminded me that he is love. His word, his truth is sweeter than honey. He's reminded me that he's fully trustworthy, fully able to provide, and he is the ultimate leader. I'm sorry, healer, also leader. He's shown himself to me as he did the Philadelphia church in Revelation to be holy and true when I was weak. He's encouraged me to keep his word, to endure patiently, and to hold on to what I have. He's called me to remember how he's redeemed my marriage in the past and the testimony of doing that in my third son, Jake Allaire. He's asked me to remember his goodness so I could take the next step, although sometimes it looked more like a controlled fall. These steps have been repetitive of previous struggles and hurts, but he's calling me to trust that he will be my security with open arms and a face that never changes. He's called me to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand so that we can be turned and be healed. Isaiah 6:10. Paul said it perfectly in Romans 8:18. I consider our present sufferings worth nothing compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. So you see, the answer and precious gift we told our precious blue lambs about at Christmas was Jesus. He was given to the Israelites when they were hungry and even empty. He was their fullness, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. And because of Jesus' great love, I stand here today as an overcomer through him who loved me, Romans 8:37. I can trust whatever steps he has for me to patiently endure until he returns, because I know he's building a kingdom and he will reign forever. In that day, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to streams of living water, and he will wipe every tear from their eye. Revelation 7:17. So I claim praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You are dismissed.